Believer's Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted.
For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hebrews 2:11.
Lesson 206, So Great a Salvation. In our last lesson, we began a study of the book of Hebrews and considered the proofs that Jesus is greater than the angels from various Old Testament quotations. The book of Hebrews is an ongoing argument to prove what Christians have through faith in Christ is superior to anything that Jews had under the Mosaic Law. In chapter 2, we learn about the great salvation offered to us through Jesus Christ, and why we should not neglect this salvation. The Hebrews were professing Christians, but in danger of letting slip those things they had heard. They did this by withdrawing themselves from Christian fellowship, seeking to return to the practices of Judaism, not maturing through attention to the Word of God, perhaps even through the willful sin of unbelief or a lack of faith, which caused them to withdraw from persecution. The Hebrews are warned not to draw back from faith in Christ or neglect God's great salvation. This salvation is called great because it is God's revelation of the remedy for man's rebellion and sin. It is also given to us through Jesus Christ and not through angels, like the Old Testament law. It also costs the greatest price of all, when the Son of God was made a sacrifice for us on the cross. It secures for us the greatest blessing by offering forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and adoption into God's family. It is also great salvation because of its scope, reaching to all of humanity, offering freely salvation to whoever will receive it. We are warned not to neglect this salvation in order to escape from God's judgment. If we do not wish to be cast out of God's presence into the blackness of darkness and the flames in the lake of fire, then we must be very careful not to treat God's salvation lightly. Make sure you are not neglecting His great salvation. The great salvation was revealed to us through the apostles and confirmed by signs, miracles, and wonders which they performed. This teaches us that signs, miracles, and wonders were used by God to authenticate His word spoken through the apostles. Once the apostles had delivered to us the full revelation of the New Testament, the signs, miracles, and wonders would no longer be required, since the word of God had been delivered to the church in a written and lasting form in the Bible. Now God wants us to trust in His word and not in signs and wonders, for often these can be faked by impostors and can certainly be done by Satan himself to deceive the masses. The writer uses a quotation from Psalm 8, verse 4 to illustrate how the Son of God, Jesus Christ, became a man in order to experience death and bring salvation to the human race. In this psalm, man is said to have dominion over creation, which refers to Adam. However, the writer applies this scripture to Jesus, who will one day be given rule over all the earth, thus fulfilling God's original intention for man to have dominion over creation. In order for God to secure our eternal salvation, it was necessary for Jesus to become a man and be our representative in death. We ought to be humbled and inspired by the humility and sacrifice our Lord Jesus made for us, and this in turn should cause us to be faithful and obedient servants who spread the gospel and live righteously. When the scriptures tell us that Jesus was made perfect through suffering, we might become confused, for we know that there is no imperfections in Jesus as God's eternal and sinless Son. The meaning here should be understood as Jesus becoming perfect as our Savior. This was something that He became as a result of dying on the cross for us. His sacrifice made Him the perfect Savior, because God, through this payment for sin, can offer salvation freely to all men everywhere. Jesus is the perfect man who made a perfect sacrifice so that He could be our perfect Savior. He has always been perfect in His divine attributes, and now in salvation, He has become our perfect Savior. This chapter ends with an amazing quotation that again is made to refer to Jesus. This quotation is taken from Psalm 22, verse 22, where someone is declaring God's name among his brethren in the midst of the congregation. The author attributes these words spiritually to Jesus as the one who is not ashamed to refer to Christians as his brethren. Hebrews 2 teaches that Jesus became man to become our Savior and our faithful High Priest. It shows his willingness to suffer for us and to identify himself with men and call them his brethren. He came to be man's representative in death and judgment, an advocate to plead our cause before God. He will rejoice and praise God among his brethren, which shows us his amazing love and condescending grace. By taking on the nature of man, to be man's representative, Savior, and friend. Psalm 22 prophetically speaks of the Messiah's great sufferings, depicting vividly and accurately the sufferings of the cross of Calvary. This psalm also looks forward to a day when the Messiah would come and dwell as a man among those he referred to as his brethren. This was fulfilled in the days when he came into the world to die for the sin of the world. There is a future and greater fulfillment of this psalm when, in the millennial reign of Christ, he will govern all nations, rejoicing and praising God among his Jewish brethren. The author of Hebrews is seeking to convince his Jewish audience that the prophetic words of the Old Testament about the Messiah fit perfectly with Jesus, who came as a man to suffer and die on a cross for the sins of the world. They needed to understand that the Scriptures taught that the Messiah would come as a man to die for the sins of his people and be made a perfect Savior through his sufferings, and that he would also be their perfect representative High Priest. Thus, drawing from several Old Testament prophecies, the author sets his course of argument to prove that Jesus has perfectly fulfilled what the Scriptures were teaching. I wonder if you have experienced God's great salvation, or have you been neglecting this salvation by taking more interest in what you can gain from this world? Take God's words seriously and do not neglect the salvation that he offers to you. For how shall you escape his judgment if you foolishly disregard God's warnings? Today you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior by reaching out to him in faith and asking him to save your soul. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. For today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned of the great salvation that was taught to us by Jesus Christ and his apostles. We also learned that the testimony of their message was confirmed through miracles, signs, and wonders. Someone might ask the question, what is the purpose of miracles, signs, and wonders? As briefly discussed in our lesson today, we learned that God used miracles, signs, and wonders to provide a way to authenticate the gospel message which the apostles were preaching. we should take a moment to consider what is meant by these three things. Miracles can come in different classifications. For instance, we might say that we received a passing grade on our school exam and that it was a miracle. When we make statements like this, we all understand what we are saying in human terms is that what happened seems quite unlikely, but we were shocked when it actually happened, and so we think of it as a miracle. However, the true understanding of a biblical miracle moves outside the realm of human probabilities into the realm of human impossibility. A miracle is when God does something that cannot be explained by any human understanding or expectations. For instance, God raising a man from the dead is never possible with men, but with God it is possible. Giving sight to a man born blind is also a miracle, for it is outside the realm of man's capabilities. Miracles in the Bible are often done only at particular stages in history, for instance, during Moses' time, when bringing Israel from Egypt into the Promised Land, also in the times of Elijah and Elisha. And during the ministries of Jesus and his apostles, miracles were much more prevalent. Large periods of biblical history are recorded without miraculous interventions by God. The miracles came at a time when God's people were living in unbelief and rebellion, and were God's means of authenticating His word, power, and authority in order to call His people back to Himself. It is important to understand this so that we do not look for God to perform miracles just because we want some healing or manifestation of God's power in order to believe in Him. God does not want us to rely on miracles, as this would just show our lack of faith. Remember when Thomas doubted Christ's resurrection, and the Lord had to reprove his lack of faith, and said he believed because he saw, but blessed were those who had not seen and yet believed. This teaches us that God wants us to trust in His Word and not in miracles. Miracles served a purpose in biblical history, but are not to be expected as the daily, normal practice of God's people. Signs are miracles with a unique message attached to them. Most signs are to help people find assurance of what God has said. It aids their faith, such as in the case with Moses, who was shown the signs of his rod being turned into a snake, or his hand becoming leprous. John's Gospel is centered around seven signs which Jesus performed. Each sign was designed to reveal the identity of Jesus as God's unique Son, and this is clearly stated in chapter 20. The intention is that as people see the sign, they can believe in Jesus, and not just any Jesus, but Jesus who is God's Son, and therefore divine. For it is our faith in Jesus as the Son of God that gives us eternal life. Many people believe in a Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible, and have no claim on eternal life. Wonders are works of God that inspire awe and reverence. Some miracles were not done for others to see, but out of compassion, such as the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Other miracles were intended for people to recognize God's mighty power, such as with the healing of the man with the withered hand in Mark chapter 3 verses 1 to 5, or the raising of Lazarus in John chapter 11, the stilling of the storm in Matthew 8 verses 23 to 27, or the parting of the sea in Exodus 14. Whether signs, miracles, or wonders, all are intended for a unique purpose and are often designed not just to help someone or heal someone, but rather to reveal God to a faithless or stubborn people, so they will repent and believe. We see this clearly in the challenge that Elijah gave to the prophets of Baal, 1 Kings chapter 17. In this story, God dramatically demonstrates by fire falling from heaven and consuming the offering and altar that He alone is God, and the worship of the false god of Baal was vain idolatry. Miracles are not delivered to the faithful, but more often they are delivered to a faithless and rebellious people, like to Pharaoh, who after many plagues still would not acknowledge God's power and authority. Miracles are God's way of communicating to a stubborn people who refuse to believe in His word. He does this not only to rebuke their unbelief, but also in compassion for their souls, so they will repent and turn in obedience to the Lord. When we take the proper view of miracles, signs, and wonders found in the Bible, we will not be so anxious to be running after miracles for our life today, but we would rather trust in God and in His Word. The greatest miracle of all is when a soul trusts in Jesus and experiences the new birth through the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope you will discover this greatest of all miracles in your life by trusting in Jesus as your personal Savior. And He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Luke chapter 16, verse 31. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me with a stranger, wandering from the If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, The wages of sin is death. And this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins, and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believers Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
I'm so to you. We keep